One thing I just said to Ethan, if you haven't had an opportunity to see the townhouse that they designed, it's incredible, they won the Home and Garden Show as well. Somebody, an architect or an engineer, approached...
Person in real estate.
Person in real estate approached them to talk about perhaps building and what their model was. And when you think of, you know, high school students, that's incredible, so we're very proud of you guys. Last but not least, I'd like to invite up Mrs. Patton, who is our Latin teacher. Actually, our only Latin teacher at the high school, so she's going to talk about some of the things that we do. And I think what's nice is when you highlight, everything we're highlighting tonight is pretty much in addition to the everyday classroom things. These are opportunities that our students have, which really add to their learning experience. So we're proud of that, and I'll turn it over to Mrs. Patton.
Thank you. Good evening, and thank you for having us here to acknowledge these kids. So many people don't know that we have Latin at the high school because we are so imbued with the IB French and Spanish. And then a lot of parents ask me, well, I don't understand why my child should take it because it's not a spoken language. Isn't it a dead language? No, it's not dead. We breathe a lot of life into it at the high school. It's been there. It's my 22nd year of teaching this, I think, somewhere around there. So basically what happens in my class is that we do a ton of English derivatives. We do the Latin language. We do history. We do culture. We do mythology. And one of the things that's the culminating experience for the Latin Club is to go to the Ohio Junior Classical League Convention. Because there's not any place to go and speak with other people in the language, because the Vatican's kind of off limits and it's a little too far, although if she's handing money out, we can do it. It's a little less than what you're looking at there for a printer. So we go to this convention, it's in Columbus, we kind of take over a hotel. There are costume contests, there's Latin recitation, there's sight reading, there's like an academic challenge kind of contest that the kids practice for a long time in the school year. And it's a way for kids that take Latin who are kind of what they call themselves Latin nerds to kind of be with other people who are very much the same, and then they're all the same in that hotel for the weekend. There is no kind of blemish on who you are or what you're doing. It's all accepting all over the place. And even if you don't do really well in Latin, you can do other things, like you can make dolls. We also have service projects. We did a Project Linus where we made blankets and things like that. So it's really a lot of fun. I usually take around 23 students, and I think 21 of them are in band. So they're all in the band banquet, but we didn't know that these were kind of colliding here tonight. So the students are all on the board. They all did really well. They either do a pre-convention project. We had a young girl who decided to take a paint can and kind of poke holes in it. It's considered metalworking, and she made constellations. So you can put a bulb in it and you turn the lights off, and it projects these constellations on the walls. So it's really a great addition. If your kids are really interested in Spanish or French or languages, it's really a great thing to add. Or if they've kind of had enough of Spanish when they get to the high school or French, we do have that option that they can come in. Everybody starts at the grade 9 level. They're all at the same starting point. So there is one student who's not in band. You're here for me, right? Okay. Sure. There is one student, her name is Arabala, and she went with us to the convention, and I think she is the only one here, because they all are band, and the other two are seniors, and we know that they're never in school the day after prom,
no.
So they're not here as well. So if you have any questions, if you have any answer those, but Latin is a great choice. We do a lot of great things. We do go from Latin 1 to 4. And I feel like I'm not talking about the students enough. I'm more talking about my program, but they're not here, so there's not a lot for me to talk about. But did you have anything that you wanted to add to what I was saying? Or, no. Okay. So they all did a fabulous job. We came in 11th in the state when we all was said and done. And some of the students do get actual per capita on their own. Richard Garber, I believe, came in second in the state per capita, which means that he attained the highest amount of points per person, like on his own, individual. So there's a lot of information in the communicator, and we have a ton of students who would be happy to talk to you about Latin if you're at all interested. So.
Thank you. So we did have. Did you want to say something?
No, I was just going to say thank you very much for having us.
Sure.
It's the season where we love recognizing our students, and you get to do a lot of it, so thank you.
I'll finish it by recognizing, we had, and again, this time of year, we understand how tough it is. We did have a student at the middle school who participated in UB the Chemist. It was a challenge offered by the Chemical Education Foundation, where they placed fourth in state, in the state of Ohio. We had our Westlake High School Academic Challenge team, which you'll see recognized up here, placed first in Ohio and number 10 in the United States. The LBMS, middle school academic challenge team, placed number 1 in Ohio and number 4 in the United States. So even though they couldn't be here, want to congratulate them as well. So. So at this time, for the families who need to go, please feel free. We are going to have an update on our construction project if you're interested in that as well. If you want to stay for the meeting, please do. If not, you're welcome to leave now. Sure. If anybody needs to take a flight to New York.
What did he have, a first grader?
A lot less people than Mr. Purdy now.
Oh, you're going to stay?
I'm going to stay. Nice job. Okay. I haven't seen the construction.
Oh, it'll be interesting.
I see the fly around.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Damien.
Thank you.
Huh? Oh, your flash drive?
What? Yeah, just, yeah. I
Okay, so we're going to continue then with our construction report.
Sounds good. I have to admit, after going through that exercise with the first graders, I'm afraid Mr. Hopkins may now know my methodology for doing my budgets every year. I take a look at that big pot and just try to see how much I need. If you could go to slide number 3, Mr. Hopkins, thank you. The update that we have for this month is starting to change dramatically. So the first couple of slides here, we'll start with this one. You're going to start to see the development of the site work up at the new elementary school. This first picture is a picture of the bus drop area. What you're looking at is the back of the building on the left-hand side of the screen. And then in the middle where all the storage containers and vehicles are, that's where our buses will actually drop off and stage as the kids go to and from the houses into the buses. On the next slide, we do have concrete going in and quite a bit of it. This is two pictures of some curbing that is going in at that bus loop. There is a sidewalk now that goes from West Town to around the center of the site. That was poured. And Rich, about how many linear feet of curbing do you think they have in over the last couple of days?
I just under 3,000.
3,000?
Yeah, because they're doing it with a curb machine, and that's what it handles.
That'll go in fairly quick.
And they'll continue through the week. With curb and sidewalk. They started curb on Friday, mm-hmm. and they poured sidewalk today, and they'll continue through the week.
On the next slide, you will see this is a picture of the west. This is the parent part of the parent driveway that's coming in here, and this will loop around. This is looking at it from the corner of the third and fourth grade wing. This here is the area that is developed for staff parking. And that's just to the south of the wetlands that's up near Center Ridge Road.
And that area was, when we started cutting in the drives and all, that area was wet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's taken a little bit of time to actually, you know, establish the curbs and everything around it. We're starting to put in the under drainage and that, and the area dried substantially. As a matter of fact, they drove a couple of dump trucks full of stone across it today. It's holding up. So over the next week, we'll get that tested, and we should be able to work on it. We needed a little bit of work to get to that point.
On the next slide then, this is an area that's back from the corner of the playground looking towards the kindergarten and preschool wing. So this plot of land right here that is the subgrade of the playground area. This would be for the upper grades, and then the preschool would be up in this corner. It's a nice large site. I'm not sure if the picture gives it any justice, but it's looking good over there. Some of the trade updates. So for the masonry, last month we talked about all the areas that are complete. You'll see west end of the building, third, fourth grade, first, second grade wing, the south connecting hallways, preschool and kindergarten areas are complete. The art, music, and front office area is. So the last parts of masonry that's occurring on site right now are the areas that's just above the cafeteria at the front of the building. And then there are some piers that they'll be constructing in the back courtyard areas made of block and brick.
That's for the fences for the outdoor learning areas.
Yep. Status on the windows, window installation, again completed in the third, fourth, first and second grade wings, preschool and kindergarten, art, music and office areas. So the remaining windows that need to be completed are the very front cafeteria, the front entrance, and some smaller areas that may be around some door entrance areas at the very east and very west part of the building. A couple more pictures. This is the back window installation in back of the first and second grade wing of the building. And then interior stud work and framing. It's all completed throughout the entire facility. Again, just a little picture of what that had looked like when it was going in. And then insulation and drywall. Here are the percentages of completion throughout the building. You'll see that pre-K kindergarten really is about 75%, so they're almost complete there. And then the art, music, and front office area at 90%. So really, as we're looking towards this week, next week, that drywall will be buttoned up. Drop ceilings and light fixtures. The drop ceiling grids you'll see in these rooms here have been installed. A lot of it's in that third and fourth grade area. Light fixtures have been laid in and are ready for attachment to permanent power. Cabinetry and flooring, again, third and fourth grade wing mostly, but you'll see picture here of the carpeted and vinyl tile in some of the classrooms. You'll see the cabinetry in the back. And then the next picture will show another area where you'll see the ceiling, the cabinetry, including the cubbies that are in each of the classrooms for the kids' coats and shoes. In this picture, the flooring isn't in yet, but there are some various states throughout the building. Electrical, mechanical, we had an update last month. Here is a refresh look at those numbers. You'll see that in most of the area, it's either at 90 or 95%, with that pre-K kindergarten area just following behind at 75%. And then this is something that we talked about last month. This chart really gives you a little overview of what those interior finishes will look like and when they're expected to be completed. Last month, we just had numbers really for the third grade. The rest of the numbers were just months. You'll see this update. When you look at the very bottom, you'll notice that the fourth grade and the third grade have the most percentage of completion across all of the painting, ceilings, the casework, and the flooring. And then as you look up towards, say, pre-K and kindergarten, you'll notice that June and July are the target times for that area, that wing of the building to be completed. I don't think there's any surprises in there. Dave Andriano from Lesman Associates, Rich DePaca from Icon, and I, we look at these weekly when we go through our meetings, and we'll keep refreshing these numbers as we get into June. And then this is just a reminder, a month ago next week, this is what the building looked like. So it started just with those footers and those plates for the steel columns to go in.
A year ago next week.
Didn't I say a year ago?
I think you said a month ago.
I said a month ago?
You guys are rocking.
It felt like a month ago. I so enjoyed this. It's such a great project. It just felt so quick. Sorry about that. A year ago, that's what it looked like. Yeah. That's it for our update. We'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Are we on our electric?
Everything's outside except we just we need the power company to actually flip the switch at the site. So we're coordinating that. The city did their inspection and should have contacted the power companies for waiting for the switch.
And I know sometimes when the district reaches out to the city, sometimes things move a little faster. I don't know if we're planning on doing that.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't realize that. We were waiting for the city to call them.
I've reached out to Karen Kirsch from CEO.
Yeah.
Any security issues?
No. We haven't had any problems.
Okay. Super. And you're touching on windows and those windows, major windows that still need to be put in. There's plywood.
A lot of the glazing that you see as an end is actually waiting for the aluminum doors. Okay. They need to frame those out to finish the adjacent glazing. Those doors are coming.
And correct me if I'm wrong.
And the openings that don't have windows or doors either have the plywood and are secured.
And the one that you looked at a picture, we didn't comment, but that is actually the last opening that we have in Area D that we're actually still funneling material.
They use that as an easy access to bring equipment or supplies.
We had one in Area C that was already disappeared.
Can you describe the flooring in the cafeteria and the gym area?
In the cafeteria, it's rubber floor. Mm-hmm. And then in the gym, it's an athletic, port-of-place rubber floor. In the cafeteria, let's say it's normal rubber flooring, which let's say is an eighth inch thick. Mm-hmm. And then over in the gym, I think it turns into 5/16.
And it is a low maintenance type of a floor. We have something similar at a Dover Intermediate School cafeteria. It has a very nice sheen to it. It's cleanable, durable, and it was our anticipation to have that low maintenance floor to reduce some costs.
And how do we clean
it? Actually throughout the building. There,
in the halls.
How do we clean that floor?
It's cleaned. We have like a writing cleaners. But it is just it's a low aggression like detergent. So it's a detergent in water. Scrubs it up, sucks it right back up again. There's no waxing to it, anything like that.
In theory, you don't need to run that machine every day. Mm-hmm. And as opposed to the VET that was always installed, you don't need to wax it as much. You don't need to take the time to clean it, to scrub it as much. Again, it's easy maintenance. You put water on the mop and pretty much you're good to go, and then, like you said, run that machine as often as you feel, but it doesn't need to be done every week.
I know in the construction meeting we looked at those drop ceilings and the tiles, and in many cases, at least the cases that I saw, they were a multicolor. Mm-hmm. And that will be the case in the classrooms?
No. Only in the ELAs. And the
ELA
classrooms will be one.
Right, so you have two per floor on the first, second, third and fourth grades, and then you have one that's between the kindergarten and pre-kindergarten.
So the vast majority of the building standard white tiles.
Mm-hmm. And those are clouds that hang down. In those areas, the ceiling is actually black and then these clouds hang out.
You know, one of the things, since you're talking about the ceiling in the classroom, what's really cool with that, and each area has, well, there's a lot of unique ceilings. So in the extended learning areas, as well as the media center, you will see the colored clouds. But what's really cool is inside the classroom, you're gonna see, you'll see these tiles, but the ceiling grid actually starts at 11 foot, 3 inches type, up against the windows, and then it goes down to about just over 9 feet. And so that angle's really cool, but the nice thing about that is the windows are huge and let in a lot of light. And so by going over 11 foot high over by the windows, you could put the larger windows in, but then kind of bring the room a little bit smaller, bring in the shape and everything you would do by dropping down to about 9 feet on the other side. So what's neat is it's not, even though it's the standard tile, it's a unique type of ceiling and it looks really neat. So did I describe it okay, Dave?
Yeah. It brings the daylight into the room, and yeah, you can get it deeper into the room.
How about all your mechanical equipment, the furnaces and everything? Is that all?
They're
going in now. Air conditioning?
Air conditioning. Yeah.
No more heat days next September?
No more heat days. As long as they turn the power on.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
That's exciting, exciting to hear. No questions, Mr. Purdy? Is that the drone that takes the overhead shots? Is that your class doing that?
Scott.
Scott's class? Okay.
It's a pretty
yeah.
Nice and simple.
It's cool to see.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we have Dr. Goggin with his superintendent's report.
Thank you. Mine will be, I only have 5 points on mine. To be brief, I know Mr. Hopkins has his 5-year forecast tonight. Really, here we are, May 20th. It's that time where, as you saw this evening, we celebrate. We have a lot of great things going on in this school district. We want to congratulate our students who are here this evening and to all those who are going to be recognized in other ceremonies throughout the rest of this year. Our Thursdays are our scholarship night. I think Mr. Wilson may have mentioned that. And it just continues all the way through. So congratulations to everyone. We did have our prom this weekend at the Western Reserve Historical Society. We would like to thank the Western Reserve Historical Society for being wonderful hosts. It was a wonderful venue for our students to attend. The students had fun, not only at this event, but at the after prom, which was at the main event. And if you know that, there's a lot of things to do. There's bowling alleys, there's laser tag, there's games. So that was a lot of fun too. And I'm also happy to report that it was a safe night. You do get concerned when you have high school students out till 1-2:30 in the morning or later. So we're very happy that not only everybody had a lot of fun, but came home safely as well. Taste of Westlake, I'd like to thank Liz Pernott, Carrie Renziak, and all the volunteers, and especially the great restaurants who participated in the event. We're fortunate to have such a variety of great restaurants in the area. Specifically, we'd like to congratulate Luca West for being selected as the People's Choice winner that night. So congratulations to them. Our culmination this year will be commencements on June 1st at 10 a.m. It'll be at Cleveland State University's Wolfstein Center. And this is it. In my recommendations, we take a step towards that event as we have the board vote to approve the list of students who could be eligible to graduate. And I said could be eligible, so if you stop showing up, I'll take you off that list. So we will recommend those students this evening. Finally, I mentioned this is an evening where we will have our 5-year forecast presentation. That's why I'm keeping this short, but I would like to take a moment and commend our treasurer, Mr. Hopkins. He did present this not only to me, but our board finance committee, and you've done a really nice job on this forecast and maintaining our finances. And for me as superintendent, it's very beneficial for me to have you run it that way. So thank you for that. And that closes my report.
Thank you.